Trevor Davis. I'm sounding the alarm. Today's January 28, 2008, and I have arrived safely in the beautiful island nation, St. Kitts, in the Caribbean. And the Lord has sent me here. I'm going to be residing here for a unknown amount of time, and currently I'm preparing for ministry meetings in the nation Trinidad, just off the coast of South America. On February 7th, I arrived there with meetings with pastors on the 9th and 10th and following week. Would you keep me in prayer and all of the leaders and the believers through the nations? I believe the Spirit of God has a mighty work to do in His people. God loves His people. And those that are hearkening diligently to hear His voice will receive grace and anointing and empowerment for the coming days that are coming into the earth. For these are awesome, awesome, glorious days. It all depends upon your relationship with the Lord, whether it'll be an austere, horrible day, or whether it'll be a glorious day. And I pray that you choose to give the Lord your 100%. And we do that by completely yielding to Him, because God fills us with His Holy Spirit. And as we submit, we have the Lord Jesus Christ living His life in us. And that's what the Father is looking for. It's not difficult. It's easy. It's yielding and submitting to the Lord. And that's where you're going to find peace. You're not, you know, how often did we find ourselves beating our heads against the wall, pounding our head against the door as we oppose the Lord? You know, it's the way of a transgressor is hard. And when we go against the way of the Lord, it's hard to kick against the pricks. As Apostle Paul, when he was stubborn, he was religious man, and he was harming Christians before the Lord had really dealt with him and revealed Himself to him. But this is the thing. It's either going to be hard for you as you resist the voice of the Spirit of God that speaks from heaven, or it'll be wonderful for you as you receive the beautiful illumination and witness of the Spirit. I'm just thinking about these days, what Jesus said in Luke 17:26, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day of the Son of Man. When Jesus was talking in context there about His disciples had asked Him, what will be the signs of Your coming and of the end of the age? And how will we know? They were asking questions. And Jesus outlined it. I mean, gave a complete dissertation. And if we read that prayerfully, with an open heart and mind, an obedient heart and life, you're going to be amazed at how clear of a sense you get of the atmosphere of what things will be like as we approach the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's going to be quite amazing show. We have the prophet Joel talking about fire, vapors of smoke, and great signs and wonders. There'll be great earthquakes and tsunamis, raging seas, plagues, pestilence, and it'll be great persecution of the true faithful believers. Deception, people giving up their faith, people betraying other Christians. And this is why I sound the alarm. Because indeed, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is drawing nigh, the day of the Lord. You want to be filled. You want to really stop what you're doing, get it focused on the Lord, and glory in the cross. Really, glory in the cross. It's so simple. But don't bystep the cross of our Lord. Because if you come to Him every day and throughout your day, bow your heart, bow your life, and submit to His will, you'll come forth in power of resurrection. That's Romans 6. Read that. We need the power of God in our life, not an appearance of religiosity. That's one of the most disgusting things to the Lord. It outrages Him. If you think you can please God by just having a certain semantic or a talk or an appearance, and yet you're living your own life astray from the Lord, you're an outsider. If you're living in fornication and adultery, lying, hatred, which is murder, stealing, pride, causing divisions, seditions, heresies, these things are works of the flesh. And according to Paul, it says, let none of these things be named amongst you once you become a saint. People have no idea. I don't know why, but in the crowds of church land, especially in the United States, which is now influencing the world in a negative walk of God and a false form of spirituality, people are unregenerated, unchanged, untransformed. But yet they believe they have eternal life. And they use God, and they use His word as if it wasn't turning God into an idol for the things that they have self-pursuits. This is all false. And they're losing sight of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you really love Jesus, you should be looking for Him. You should be expecting Him. And the scripture is very clear, teaches a story of the people of God preparing as a maiden, a virgin, preparing for her marriage day. She wears a white garment, pure, chaste. She's not dating other lovers. She's not in illicit behavior with others. And neither should any of us be in illicit behavior with other gods or the things of the world. We should be separate. We're called to be separate, hating our garments spotted by the flesh, having our minds renewed, and that we are to be transformed. Well, I bless you. I'm preparing for these meetings in Trinidad, and I'm believing that the Spirit of God will truly resonate in the pastors, the leaders, the shepherds of God's flock. And I pray they move forward and prepare their people for the coming days. Because this is what God wants. He wants His people prepared. For the sights that are coming are so ominous. Where I'm sitting right now, I'm looking out a window over the Atlantic Ocean in St. Kitts. I was thinking this morning about this. This is the first morning as I see the dawning day and the billowy clouds, the horizon of the ocean. But it was in September of 2006. I was in Frigate Bay, here in St. Kitts, on the balcony with Rick Wiles. And we were discussing how the Lord was speaking to us about the islands. It was just starting to be made clear to us what the Lord was saying about these islands. And I saw in my spirit, I saw a vision of a 300-foot wave. And it was going from my right to my left. And what I saw was it dissipated. And what I believe the Lord is saying, He's calling particularly St. Kitts, but all the nations, all the islands, to call upon the Lord. Because in the coming days, there will be raging seas that will pass through the oceans. And the nations that have bowed the knee to the Lord, made Him their king, and from political leaders to spiritual leaders to the people of the land, as they call upon the Lord and trust in Him, He will bring deliverance. Yes, we're going to see mighty, mighty wrath of God and judgments in the earth. Read the scriptures. Go through the book of Revelation. The last chapters are very clear. The wrath of God Almighty with King Lord Jesus Christ, with a garment dipped in blood. This is serious, ladies and gentlemen. You want to be right with the Lord. But, as Psalms 2 says, to the kings, to the rulers of nations, and the religious leaders, they are to kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and they perish in the way. And it also says, blessed are they that put their trust in Him. The Lord wants to see trust from His people. The Lord is looking for submission to His Lordship. And if you do that, He'll hide you in the covert of His wings. That's where you want to be. The still, small voice of the Lord that directs you into safety. And Jesus Christ is our ark. I was reading this morning out of Genesis chapter 5, verse 29. It mentions Noah. It says, and he called his name Noah, saying, the same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord had cursed. That's the interesting thing. You know, when God made the earth and all the things in it, it was beautiful, wonderful, spectacular, sensational. You could just go on and on describing the marvel of what God has created, His handiwork. Look at the stars, look at the heavens, the ocean, the seas, the winds, the snow, the water, the fruit, the things to eat. these are the things that God had made. And as Adam and Eve sinned and partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they died, just like God had said. Satan wasn't telling the truth. They did die. The Lord cursed the earth with a curse, and by the sweat of our brow we work and toil in the earth. But here it says that Noah would comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because the ground which the Lord had cursed. You know, it just triggered a memory in me, or a thought, a recurring thought, how I think about how people view God too often in an incorrect way. As if God was a silly character or someone indifferent or aloof to what's right or wrong. And the multitudes have not the fear of the Lord. And this is the issue, ladies and gentlemen. The fear of the Lord will be established in the earth. The fear of his majesty will be so striking to the wicked. Read Isaiah chapter 2. As the glory of God comes, it will come upon the trees, the oaks, the ships, the mountains, the hills, the valleys. And it will be so glorious to those that love him, but to those that are hating him, they will absolutely be terrified. They will run into the holes, in the caves of the earth, hiding in the rocks and in the ragged rocks. And it repeats this over and over, because the fear of the Lord and the glory of his majesty. I say, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord God. Come, glory of the Lord. Fill us. Fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. And let the wicked be banished from the earth. Root them out, O Lord. And let your people delight in your wonderful presence without restraint, O God. Loose it in the name of Jesus. But this is my point. Is God is very austere. When this great tragedy happened with Adam and Eve and they sinned, death came into the earth. And God cursed the earth. And then we have the time of the whole population of the earth during the time of Noah, which you have to consider the population of the earth. There was billions of people. They lived many, many years, far longer than we do now. In fact, Noah, in verse 32 of chapter 5 in Genesis, it says, and Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. They lived a long time, and you live a long time, it's possible they may have had a lot of children too. But there were, in my opinion, or understanding at this time, great amounts of populace in the earth. The sad part was God was very displeased. As we read down into Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both men and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, and repents me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This message is relative to us, because as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day of the Son of Man. Do you have grace in the eyes of the Lord? Is God separating you? Is God calling you to go into the ark? Well, hear his voice and move with fear. Obey the Lord.